Your money's on the desk over there.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
That was the wrong way to start off.
It really was. Shall we start again?
Please, you start.
Thank you. I will. Perhaps you've seen or heard about this movie you just heard a clip from, which opened in limited release last week, The Sessions. Perhaps you've had a chance to think about a situation almost no one would associate with tender romance and love, how a severely disabled person would have sex. Okay, Howard Stern talks about this a lot, but outside of the prurient voyeuristic interest, imagine wanting something you know everybody had.
My penis speaks to me, Father Brendan.
To get it, you would have to do something you had never done and couldn't imagine doing.
Is it possible for me to know a woman in the biblical sense?
You would have to cross into a moral wilderness. You would be on your own.
Are we talking about sexual intercourse?
I think so.
Outside marriage.
The only way to get what you want would be to hire someone who's been there before and has none of your inhibitions.
Shall we get undressed?
Those are Oscar nominee John Hawkes and Oscar winner Helen Hunt acting out the experiences and writings of Mark O'Brien in The Sessions. O'Brien was a severely disabled survivor of childhood polio. He cannot move his body but has full sensation in it. In his late 30s, he decided that he didn't want to die a virgin and so sought out the assistance of a sex surrogacy therapist named Cheryl Cohen Green, played by Helen Hunt in the movie. But Cheryl, in real life, as I discovered when I spoke to her this week, has no inhibitions and tons of heart.
I thought he was extremely brave, and I told him that. I didn't think his desires were any different than any of the other clients I work with. What he wanted was something that I think a lot of disabled men and women long for, like all of us long for. There's no difference. It's just that because they're differently able than let's say, the average person who hasn't had a physical disability, I believe that the general public thinks of them as asexual, like they have no sexual desire, which I love about the movie, showing that that's an integral part of who we are as human beings. And when he told me that he felt like he was looking through a window, everybody on the other side was having a feast that he would never get to taste, that struck my heart. I said, that's not right. You and I are going to explore that feast together.
Do you think people have a right to a sexual experience regardless of their physical state, their physical circumstances?
Of course, yes.
And so, you know, apart from the kinds of dysfunctions that we might associate sex surrogates with, this must have been a really fascinating case.
It was a fascinating case. The word sexual dysfunction, I think every one of us has sexual dysfunction sooner or later in our life. Our attitude is a sexual dysfunction. Mark could move his toe a little bit. He could move his neck slightly. He had no options. You know, when we started working together, I weighed much more than he. You know, he weighed 70 pounds. Probably then I was weighing about 150. And, my work with him was a challenge, but it was wonderful challenge. I mean, I learned so much every time I saw him. I learned a lot about transference, too. My hope is always, and that's the goal, is my clients will transfer what they've done with me into a relationship. And I wondered, you know, that was my major concern. How is he going to do this? But I also felt that he deserved to learn all of this, like everyone does. And then when I heard that he had met Susan Fernbach, I was thrilled. He called to tell me that, and that was wonderful.
So you were the means not only for him to have sex, but also to have a relationship.
I would say yes. I mean, we role model relationships. That's what surrogates do, teach people communication.
Why is asking for sex brave? You called Mark brave.
I think of him as brave, not just because of coming to me, but just brave in his life in general. When I think of him going to school and dealing with life in general, learning how to deal with his attendance. You know, he was so vulnerable. I mean, I've felt vulnerable in my life during certain illnesses that I've had, and that is not a good feeling. But he went beyond that into trying to experience as much of life as possible. And I think that there are people that just hunker down and don't want to do anything, whether they have a disability that's noticeable or not. You know, they don't know how to go out into the world, or they fear it so much they won't do it. And he did.
Although, you know, Cheryl, you know Mark way more than I do. I'm familiar with his writings and familiar with him as a character and as a disabled man myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect if he was listening to you right now, he'd go, hey, forget this bravery crap. Let's just get in the sack.
He might say that. And I'd say, well, I don't give a what you said. I still think you're brave, so that's it. I mean, he wouldn't want anybody to be sympathetic towards him. And that wasn't the case at all with me. I had a lot of empathy and I had a lot of compassion, and that's where I came from with him.
Is sex in this surrogacy relationship, is it sexy or is it way too goal-oriented?
You've seen the movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know the scene at the last session when they start to kiss each other and she has the orgasm and all of that?
Yeah, yeah.
That is sexy. And that was true for what happened with Mark and I. But when I'm working with anybody, I look at them as if I were the next woman in their life. And what can I do to help them learn more about themselves so they exude a confidence? And as Mark and I worked together, that became more and more part of what was going on. We talked, we kissed, I gave him feedback, and see, I tried to stop, you know, help him stop ejaculating so quickly by focusing on his breath, taking it slower, and talking. And when I had an orgasm with Mark, like Helen did, I really had an orgasm. It wasn't something I told him, and I tell every client, I will not fake with you. I'm going to be real, and I'm going to show you what I enjoy, and we'll see what happens. And that's what you want from all partners, as you're going along with them, to be honest about what they're enjoying or not enjoying. And that's if that's clinical, then so be it. But I think it's a beautiful way to be with anybody.
It's a sweet irony, though. You tell everybody, I don't fake it.
No, I won't. I don't have orgasms if I don't.
Hey, I'm not arguing with you. I just think...
My job is to role play as honest a relationship as possible. And I say when I don't like something, but my goal is never to scold. It's to give feedback in the way I could handle it. You know, and if that doesn't work, we'll see what we can do. But, yeah, it's a wonderful process. And so many people have wild judgments about it. And that's pretty much what my goal is, to help them see the judgments and then really hear what I have to say and understand more about how to be happy in their own sex life.
Well, thanks so much for not faking it with us.
It was a pleasure. It was so nice to talk to you, John.
Cheryl Cohen Green, the real sex surrogacy therapist who is depicted in the movie The Sessions.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.